As the ancient Hebrews first heard the words of Psalm 23, Adonai ro'i lo exar, ben odesha yarbetseni o meimer yuchok yinacheleni, all in Hebrew. We know it in English, favorite psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. We've come in our journey with the Good Shepherd this summer all the way to verse 4, the second half, where your rod and your staff comfort me. I didn't notice it on my own, but the first three verses are different than the last three. It was in a book by Shepherd Philip Keller, a man that grew up in East Africa and became a shepherd in the States and also an agriculturalist, scientist, teacher, as well as a lay preacher. Philip Keller pointed out that the first three verses are talking about the shepherd in the third person singular. So the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. By the time you get to verse 4, your rod and your staff, now the sheep is talking to the shepherd. And that's true of the last four verses, the last three verses, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalm 23. So Philip Keller says this is the journey that still happens of a shepherd out west in America. It happened in Africa and in Palestine where David was a shepherd, that they would take the sheep away from the home ranch and up into the high country during the warm summer days, get them out of the sultry valleys where they could get disease and up into that high mountain air and the fresh green pastures. Your rod and your staff comfort me as you lead me up into the high country. But without mechanized vehicles, four-wheel drive, ATV as we have today, the shepherd had to make sure that he had minimum equipment so that he could have maximum comfort for the sheep. So all over the world, the shepherd has basically two pieces of equipment. Your rod and your staff comfort me. As a child, I thought those were the same thing. And I think many of the Hebrew dictionary writers as well, because they put both terms on for three different words in the Hebrew Old Testament that come up for rod or staff. But it's very explicit in David's psalm that the first one is the rod and the second one the staff. So we're going to look at that today in this awesome comfort that we have that Jesus has both the rod and staff in his hands. And it's such a joy, and it gives us such peace to see those two in the hands of our good shepherd. With that, let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, thank you that you are our good shepherd. We too can brag about the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, but it is so wonderful to have this intimate relationship with you that sheep can now actually speak to their good shepherd and you to us. Help us, bless us to glorify your name as your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. So growing up in East Africa, Philip Keller could remember watching the shepherd boys make their knob carry. If you look up knob carry for images, you will not necessarily get the shepherd's knob carry. They tend to be more weapons, all the pictures. There are just a few that recognize that the staff, the knob carry, was actually something that a shepherd used. So in Africa, they're still used as weapons. In fact, it's easier, I think, to find examples in real life by asking a friend, a member. Jeff McNeish brought these on Thursday because one was given to him from Ireland, where they call this a shillelagh. And I do believe this is meant to be lumpy like this because it's a weapon cane that you would carry with you, and it's meant for self-defense. That would be the shillelagh. Jeff went out and found a bush next to his house by Lake Johanna, dug it up from the ground like this, cut off all the roots off the root ball, made it long enough to be a cane. But if you made it at 18 to 20 inches, the Maasai shepherd boys, or anybody in East Africa, would make them just the right size and weight to use as a throwing instrument as well as the rod. It's an extension of his right arm. They would practice throwing these so that they could be just lightning quick and extremely accurate. So you see that the knob carry is used for throwing. The picture of the African here is apparently at a contest where they can use the throwing instrument as an extension of his right arm, and they will have contests to see who can throw more quickly and more accurately, self-defense, but also for the sheep. So if a sheep is going astray, bring them back, or attacked, as we heard in the children's lesson, by lion or bear, David apparently used his rod, because it says, he was telling Saul this when he's going to fight Goliath. And David said, I struck the lion, I struck the bear, rescued the sheep from the lion's mouth, and then when the animal turned on me, I struck it and killed it. So David actually killed both the lion and the bear. Sometimes it's for skull cracking, and sometimes it's for sending the enemies of the flock scurrying back into the woods or out of the way of the flock. But that knob carry, that rod, is the extension of the shepherd's power. It is a symbol of his ability and his strength in difficult situations where he has to step up, put his own life on the line, and it's a picture for us of the Word of God. That's the insight Philip Keller gives us. And you can't help thinking of God's Word, because God's Word is the extension of his power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. That's John 1, referring back to Genesis 1, and Jesus is the Word, the creator of all things. So the extension of God's power is the word of his mouth. Jesus is pictured there, but Jesus is also the Good Shepherd. So his word is his extension of power, and it comes lightning quick with extreme speed and accuracy whenever we hear, thus says the Lord. There's power and authority in that, even to this day. About all that the non-believers can do is simply deny it or find those who will be speaking what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. You recognize the wolf in sheep's clothing? The sheep is dead. I don't know if that's a wolf or somebody's husky, but the picture was there. Isn't that pretty much the way they come? They look so innocent, and yet underneath there is this deadly false teaching. And so in Zechariah, one of the minor prophets with a major message, we're told the idols speak deceit. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. Remember, I had a dream. So they were all telling their dreams, but they give comfort in vain. It's empty comfort. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for lack of a shepherd. And isn't that still true today? People that don't know the Lord as their shepherd are following this idea and that idea. They're victims. Victims many times of every crazy idea that comes along. Victims of all their own appetites and their desires, basically destroying themselves because they don't have the true comfort. Your rod comforts me. When you know Jesus as your good shepherd, you recognize that his rod in his hand gives you this quiet serenity of just knowing that he can safeguard his sheep. He's got control over his flock. And there's a blessing in that control, so that when we might go astray, he can bring us back again, but also control the whole situation, so when the enemies attack the flock, whatever form they take, your rod comforts me, and his word comes swiftly and with extreme accuracy. You need to know it and have it as the shepherd controls the situation with his knob carry, the rod. Along with control, you also have the discipline that the good shepherd uses. If you try to look at poisonous weeds that sheep can get into, there's more than I even knew existed. There looks like hundreds of them. And if one of them is going after, in this case, the lamb is going after cannabis, I'm not sure what marijuana would do to a sheep if it's chewing the leaves, but can't be good for it. So the shepherd would use his rod and, either send it over that direction or a little thump in the right place, not to hurt, but to save and to help. Sometimes it's actually deadly. There were pictures of what happened to little lambs whose ewes, their moms, dams as they're called, got into weeds. They could even trace it to the 14th day of gestation. And the pictures were so heartrending, I didn't want to put them up here. This is one of two little lambs that, according to the caption, will die in a matter of hours because the mom ate some kind of poisonous weeds. So the shepherd has to be constantly watching. And when he's leading his sheep up into the high country for the summertime, he has to have gone that way before. Just think about that. He's got to know and he's got to clear as many of the weeds out as he can before he brings the sheep up there. Otherwise, they're going to die. It's a deadly thing, not just for the animal that's doing the eating, but if they have little lambs as well, they can just die of birth defects that are just heartrending. So the shepherd has to be on top of all that. He's got to be able to recognize from a distance where there might be a patch of weeds that's going to be harmful. He may not have time to get up really close, but he's got the rod there. He'll use it to discipline the flock and save many sheep and lambs. There's another way that the shepherd uses his rod, and in the book of Ezekiel in particular, where it says, you, my people, are my sheep, and I am your shepherd, Ezekiel 34, the shepherd is talking about bringing his flock under the rod. So picture this, the sheep are all in the sheepfold, and they're coming out. And the shepherd stands in the gate, and he stops them with his rod. And he'll stop them one at a time, and then he'll take the rod and check what's going on underneath the fleece. So somebody thought we needed to see a sheep that's half shorn. So that you see it naked on this side, the other side is just as woolly as normal. But it does give you a good idea, doesn't it? Especially on the underside, how dirty that wool gets. The wool in the Bible is a picture of our stubborn self-will. The sin inside of us and the sinfulness that just keeps picking up all this garbage and filth around us, even manure in the world around us. And we don't notice it. If you've ever been on a farm long enough, you know, after a while you don't smell it anymore. If you grew up on a farm, all the boots in the mudroom, everybody walks in there. If they're, you know, city slickers that never, whoa, you know, this house is kind of ripe. Well, the family that lives there, no, this is where we live. This is where we work. You don't really notice it after a while. But that wool is something that the shepherd has to know. I guess if you shear a sheep just right in a show, you can make that sheep look like a perfect specimen. But you've got a good judge there, and Philip Keller said this, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. So he'll take his rod, and he'll part the wool on that sheep, and he can see all the way to the skin and see whether or not that animal is healthy as you tried to make it look when you entered it in this contest. And so that's the way Jesus examines us, and it's really nothing to run from when we come under the rod. For one thing, he's counting his sheep to make sure we're all there. The other part is he's examining us so that these hidden problems that may not even, you know, we're not aware of them. He will put us in certain situations that can be very painful. And yet all he's really doing is exposing for us what this inner problem is. It can be lack of forgiveness, stubborn self-will in some way that we weren't even aware of, but it's the good shepherd's care that's doing it. And it relieves us of this problem as surely as surgery can relieve a bad back or cancer. It's surgery, but it's done by a loving, good shepherd at just the right time in the right way. David knew all about this. So in that most intimate Psalm 139, at those last verses, I love this prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We're actually asking the Lord to do this examining because we need it as he uses his rod for control, for discipline, for examination, and then finally for protection. David, as a shepherd boy, knew what the rod was for. So when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this verse, your rod and your staff comfort me, he knew those were two pieces of equipment, the rod and the staff. Philip Keller talks about when he was growing up in East Africa, as mentioned before, how they would carefully craft their rod just to fit their hand and their size and their strength. But there's another story that he tells about how a shepherd, a Maasai herder, used his rod to save the two of them. By that time, Philip Keller was a photographer. He'd travel all over the world, and they were trying to get a picture of some elephants in Kenya. So they were up on a hill looking down, and the elephants were back in a clump of trees, and they wanted to scare them out into the open and get a good picture. They decided to roll a boulder down the hill that would scare the elephants out where he could photograph them. Unfortunately, when he and the Maasai herder took hold of the rock and turned it over, there was a cobra coiled up right there, and it was ready to strike. So, you know, about that time, you'd die of a heart attack, right? The Maasai shepherd, in an instant flash, he killed that cobra, and his rod never left his hand. Boom, just like that. And, you know, Keller was struck by the fact that he could use that rod so quickly, and that's how the good shepherd is so quick when he sees danger. He's not going to wait for the serpent from hell to strike at us when I am Jesus' little lamb. He's watching over me. He's got the rod, and it is comforting to know that he can protect us with it. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd in John 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's going to put himself between us and danger, put himself in harm's way, as he did. Remember what happened right after Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit, of course, in his baptism comes down in the form of the dove, right? And it then says Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit in him, so he was willing in his state of humiliation to need that power of the Holy Spirit in his baptism. And then what does it say? The Holy Spirit led him or made him go out into the wilderness to do battle with Satan. Now, Jesus could have used his power as God's own son and just send the devil packing that way. What does Jesus do? You say it with me, the weapon that he said? It is written again. It is written again. It is written. I didn't hear you. It is written. It is written. It is written. He's using the sword of the Spirit or the rod of his word to fight off Satan. And finally, Satan has to give up. In Psalm 149, it says, this is the sword that the Holy Spirit, or the rod that the Holy Spirit, puts in the hand and the mouth of every believer. Psalm 149, the second to the last psalm. And there is comfort in knowing that you, as God's people, have that rod as well. It is written, it is written, it is written, to fight against those false ideas that come up. Control, discipline, examination, protection, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the same way the rod shows the power and the authority of the good shepherd, the staff actually pictures the sweetness and comfort, the consolation, the gentle correction that we receive from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us faith and then makes this salvation personal for us. So your staff comforts me. Now the staff is more familiar to people. You know, that's the long rod and has the hook on it. What I didn't know before was that that staff is only used for sheep. It's no good for taking care of cattle or hogs or anything like that, specifically for shepherds, and it's used all over the world. So it pictures for us the long-suffering kindness, the concern, and the compassion of God, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus said as much when he was speaking to his disciples in John 15 and 16. He says, when the counselor or the comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will also declare to you what is to come. So it is the dear Holy Spirit who makes the truth of God's word clear to our minds so that we can grasp it and benefit from it and find comfort and peace in that word of God. There's another way that the shepherd will use the staff to draw the sheep together. He's got the crook of the staff, and he's got to be careful if it's lambing season, because the ewe can have her lamb, and somehow with the whole flock of sheep out there, the lamb can get separated from its mother. If the shepherd just walks over and picks up the lamb, the odor of his hands will make the mother reject her little lamb. So all over the world, I guess, shepherds will do this. And Keller says it's fascinating. You can watch it for hours. The shepherd with his long staff will reach over with the hook, hook up the little lamb, set it by its mother. Hook up another one, set it by its mother. He's got to be watching to see which lamb belongs, right, to which dam. And he will pick that up, give it to it back to its mother, and move on through the whole flock and make sure that they're together. And that's the togetherness that the Lord is talking about. Your staff comforts me. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel comes to the old priest in the temple, to Zechariah, says, you and your aged wife Elizabeth are going to have a son. You're going to name him John. That'll be John the Baptist. But catch this now of the togetherness that the Holy Spirit brings. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to prepare a people who are ready for the Lord. It's absolutely vital that the staff of the Spirit comes into a family, and when it lifts up the family, the father then can see his responsibility toward his children. The children see their parents to be honored as God's representatives. And finally, the whole family is enjoying this new life that we have from Jesus, our good shepherd. As they're walking along, the shepherd can also use his staff to walk together with the sheep. Apparently, the shepherd can just lay his staff on the side or the back of a sheep. Now, you can steer the sheep a little bit, you know, wherever you need to go. But there's also a way that they can walk along in touch. And apparently, the sheep are very aware of this special treatment. It's a special lamb that, or you that the shepherd loves, and walking along like that in touch, hand in hand, there's a closeness there that the shepherd enjoys, and so does the sheep. This is the way, walk in it. That's what the Holy Spirit says. That's like the staff of the good shepherd laid upon us, and there's that closeness there that we can really appreciate. Now, as you understand Scripture, Lutherans and Catholics are so blessed this way. Those who deny that the sacraments are the Holy Spirit's work are not going to gather this comfort. But the Bible clearly says that that's the Holy Spirit's washing of rebirth and renewal, and this is my body, this is my blood. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit works in the visible gospel of the sacraments. You realize how comforting that should be to you day by day. The Holy Spirit has called you by name, so the staff of the Good Shepherd has come to you. And it's like he's walking along with the staff on you each time you remember your baptism at the beginning of the service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to remind us of our baptism. Likewise, the Holy Supper, this is my body, this is my blood. He comes with his comforting staff so that you have that in your whole self, and he's that close. How could the good shepherd get closer to us than he does when his rod and his staff in particular comfort us in our need, and we come to the church with our burdens and our griefs and leave them here at the altar of the Lord? But what if I am the sheep that wants to keep climbing down the steep hillsides and falling into the sea? Keller said he had one ewe that just did that all summer long. She just keeps going down, falling in. Or that stubborn sheep that just keeps pushing for one more mouthful of grass and has to keep pushing into the brambles and the thorns until finally that wool is all tied up. And then the harder you struggle, the more you're in this predicament. What a mess. What if I'm that sheep? A lot of churches, when they have sheep that wander away, if they're not coming and they're not contributing, those churches call that deadwood and just cut that off. That's not the way of the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for those sheep. If it was up to us, the way we have in our attitude sometimes, we're so judgmental on each other, so hard on each other, husbands and wives arguing or just looking in the mirror, two sinners, right? We do this, that's our sin. But the good shepherd is not going to leave us. All those times I wandered off, he came after me. All those times I kept pushing my own stubborn ways, he comes, and if I need to be shorn, off comes the wool. One way or another, that shepherd, my good shepherd, is watching over me so that I know that your rod and your staff comfort me. All of us deserve to be abandoned by the good shepherd for all the ways we sin day by day. But he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He is absolutely determined to gently draw us back to himself. And when need be, he will use his staff to lift you up and set you back by his side again. How long on love and strong on forbearance our good shepherd really is, the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Your rod and staff comfort me. Your spirit, O Christ, is my consolation. Thank you, good Lord. Amen.